communicating with Earl this week. I told him it's okay once in a while to bring a short sermon. Right? Say amen. And since I told him that with regard to next week, that means I got more time this week. Well, probably not. We might be having weather on our minds, so we don't want to get blown out. We just want to walk out to the church. Appreciate those songs who fit so well with regard to today. One of the great words that ties in with our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that of the word balance, to be balanced. We all are amazed, I'm sure, when we watch maybe some athletic folks and they get on that little balancing beam, right? Pretty amazing. I'd heard when they practice on them, they're only this far off the ground, you know. But they're more than that when they get doing the actual things on the balance beam. Now, pretty important, balance. Remember when you learned how to ride a bicycle? Or maybe you're still trying to learn, I don't know. But someone, I think it was my mother, said to one of my brothers and a cousin, and we were visiting at Grandma's, and something about, go teach Lewis how to ride the bicycle. And their idea was, as we lived at, oh, my grandmother lived at Four Corners, and take him up on the hill on the dirt road. And they weren't much for instructions. Sit on it, hang on, pedal, we'll give you a little push. And they did. You know, two Sundays ago, I believe it was, we started to answer, work on a three-part question, or maybe a three-part message, but really it'd be much more than three parts if we covered it properly, but just trying to get the ideas of it down that we have regarding a biblical, which is what we want, and a balanced, and they go together, ministry and existence with regard to the local church. And so we have mentioned that the local church in my little thoughts on it, and in reading this week, I saw some others have used this type or similar illustration and or a picture of the ministry of the church. And we said it's to exalt the Savior or exalt the Sovereign. And then it is to what?
Edify.
Edify the believers. And we're to edify or build up ourselves in the Scriptures so we can build up others, minister to them and encourage them. And then that third point of it, or is that of evangelism? Yeah, evangelism, and trying to be those that use similar words to help us, I think, exalt the Savior and edify the saints and evangelize the sinner. I don't know if we're supposed to use the word sinner anymore, but the Scripture does, so we will. And I certainly know that's what I was, but by the grace of God, I'm a saved sinner. I'm called a saint at this time. So as we've been examining the Scriptures and looking in them regarding these one, two, three areas, it is so because the Bible is the message of the Spirit of God to the believers, to the church. So as we're looking at it, the person of the Holy Spirit and his life work in the church, we're examining ourselves to see if we are correctly, fully engaged as we ought to be in his work in these three areas. Our desires always in whatever we do to exalt the Savior. And our desire always is in whatever ministry and work in the church we're in, edify the saints. And this morning, that of to evangelize the sinner. It's well and good, and we should, as we have sung some great songs, hymns with regard to that of evangelism out of the Word of God. And they have not only great truths, but they were made personal. You know, when you think down through them, I love to tell the stories. So when we sing that, we're saying, well, I'd like to go and tell folks about the Lord Jesus. I like when I come in contact with folks to talk to them about the Lord. The tie I wear this morning was a gift from two men from China who my wife and I got to know well and had some opportunities to minister with. And they had been out walking on a Sunday, and they saw that our church had an evening service, and they wanted to go to church. Mornings they had to work. They were in a work program from out of China, and a business in the United States had sent them to school, paid their way to school, and now they had come to China, to the United States, to learn how to do the work so they could go back to China and run factories with regard to the same type of work. And so these two men, they were quite interesting to get to know. We said, well, we'd like to get you a Bible. You like a Chinese Bible? No, we want an English Bible. And they would come to church and sit pretty much toward the back, and I would look back, and the only thing I would see is the tops of their heads as they were down figuring out and reading and trying to see where things were. And had Bible studies with them for some time. And the one, I believe, came to know Christ as Savior. When upon leaving, they said, we have ties, but we don't like them too much, but our company gave us these ties, and we'd like you to have it. And so when I see it and I think of it, I think of, well, God gave us an opportunity to give out the gospel to someone here. And we're trust and prayed they have taken it back with them, of course, to where they live and their families, and ministering there. And it's a reminder to us that God brings, when we're paying attention, opportunities right to us to give out the gospel, to exalt him, seek to build up some folks, and then to encourage with regard to with regard to knowing Christ as Savior. The Spirit of God brings that about and burdens our hearts. As we read the Word and we sing these songs and we think about the opportunities all around us that come our way. And so we rejoice in that, because no one exalts the Savior, and no one edifies believers, and no one evangelizes the lost like the Spirit of God who is in us. So I trust we are asking ourselves questions. We are to examine our lives by way of the Word of God. And so we would ask, how have I been, or how have we as a church been exalting the Savior? How are we edifying ourselves and other believers? And to get this balanced out, exalting, edifying, Savior, and the saints, there must be this balance with regard to evangelism. How have we been? What have we been busy at? What are we doing? What's our plan?
to evangelize the lost that indeed are all around us. And what's our plan from out of the burdened heart for them to speak to them of Christ?
We could ask our questions. We dealt some verses of exalting the Savior, and we could have looked at multitudes more. We did the same last week, some with regard to edifying the saints, building ourselves up. We could have put in many more and many illustrations. But when it comes to evangelism, almost every book in the Bible, right, talks about in some way going and talking about God, talking about the Lord Jesus, expressing what we believe, how our lives have been impacted and changed by the Scriptures, and that of giving forth the things of the Word of God. So we display that we are counter-cultural to this world. We display that by exalting the Savior, one and only Savior, Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, of whom the Scriptures speak, came into this world and its system, which was an enemy of his. You remember when you were an enemy of his? Care not for the things of God. We display that we are counter-cultural as a church to the world system. We're not a part of it. We display that we are counter-cultural to this world system by edifying one another in the Scriptures, rather than tearing one another down. We train ourselves to walk in the Scriptures so we can help others to walk in the Scriptures and whatever's going on. And we are counter-cultural to this world by way of the evangelism that we take. We do believe, as taught in the Scriptures, people are born dead in sin. They need to repent of their sin. They need to be brought to God by faith in Christ. And we would think with regard to that, that we're not to ignore the lost. We're not to hide from the lost. We're not to only kind of huddle together and forget the lost, but when we come together to exalt the Savior and edify one another, our minds are up on what can we do and be strengthened in and go about just as we sung the hymns this morning. I love to tell the story, and I come to you freely, freely with the Word of God. I think our watchword, if I might use that phrase this morning, and I just did, so I'm going to. Watchword, 1 Corinthians 16, if you haven't got yourselves back there, because we read the Scriptures there. But I'm going to direct your minds and thoughts back to 1 Corinthians 16. And just some thoughts down through here of this watchword, you know, watch. Be alert, pay attention. We're told to, in verse 13, told to stand fast in the faith, and we're told to act like men, like those with some backbone. It means to be brave, basically. Be strong. And then 1 Corinthians 16, 14, let all that we do to be done in charity or love. God the Holy Spirit has given a wonderful portion on evangelism in this chapter. And I'm sorry, Jay, I'm not going to get the way to the end of it. You'll have to find your own meanings there for anathema. I have a couple of ideas on it, but do it yourself.
You know, in verse 9, when you look here at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, Paul says, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he's in Ephesus ministering, and he says there in Ephesus, there's a great door, an effectual or an effective door has opened to me. He says, great, great opportunities in Ephesus to give out the gospel, to preach and present Christ. So he desires to do that and remain there and continue in that task that he has. So this is a great biblical truth, or truth for all biblical churches, for all of history, for all of church history in this verse that we have here. And he said, I've got work to do where I am. There where he was, just as we have here where we are. We got work to do. God opens doors for an effectiveness in regard to the ministry of evangelism. He says there are numerous evangelistic opportunities, great, effectual, effective doors, and open to me. And I'm to enter in and do the work where he's at. There and then, great and effectual door, as there are here and now. When you drive around the community, are you amazed at all the homes and people? I am. Just taken in by it. Wow, I think. Opportunities. You know, the Lord has opened the door of evangelism here and now for you. How do I know that? Well, just by the fact there's a local church and you're it right here. God establishes, builds, has put in local churches because in that area, folks to reach with the gospel of Christ, who will learn to exalt the Savior and edify one another. The history of the church of Ephesus in the history book of the church, the book of Acts, sets forth the evangelistic work that Paul had going on in Ephesus. He says it was public, and he says it's house to house, place by place, individual to individual, family to family. He says there are adversaries. There were adversaries then and there to the gospel, and there are adversaries here and now, this area, to the gospel. So we could say there always have been, there always will be. There was then. But Paul says, yes, there are adversaries, but there's a great door open to take, go in, give forth the things of the Word of God. When you look at this verse 9, we see that that word effective or effectual is a word that's balanced out. It's balanced out, effectual on one hand with adversaries on the other. It isn't that, well, the adversaries are winning or the effectiveness of the gospel is, you know, that things are out of whack. But his emphasis is the effectiveness, or the effect of it, is balanced by the word adversaries. What do adversaries do? They keep us on our toes, keep us alert, keep us thinking. They keep us from being overly confident in ourselves, confident in our ability. And they keep us from pride. and they keep us on our knees. Adversaries can be very advantageous. They keep everything balanced. We have that here. As you continue with that, thinking on it a little bit, verses 10, 11, and 12, he says, Paul said he was sending some help, some helpers. Always good to have help, have helpers. Talks about Timothy being sent to the local church to help with the work and carry on the ministry. Talks about Apollos. He'd encouraged Apollos to go, and Apollos was kind of saying, well, not now, not yet. Paul thinks he'll go later and be there for the work. And so Timothy and Apollos and others are mentioned later on. They're encouraged, you know, and the church is encouraged to receive them and have a consideration with regard to these work. A couple of excellent pastors. I'll remind us as a church this morning hour, you as a church, to continue at and constantly be praying. Sometimes as time goes by on a topic, an area of life, we kind of get less and less in our praying in our minds, because that which is needed kind of seems to, you know, get out of mind. I'm thinking here with regard to praying daily for a pastor, a Timothy or an Apollos, for Maranatha, for God's timing on it, which indeed is always right and perfect. So it's a good reminder here from out of the scriptures concerning to keep at it, and thankful for updates and reports, and keep praying, plugging away with regard to the whole matter. That is here. Now, verse 13 and 14, as you look at it, we kind of have what I call some short, blunt, pointed orders to be practiced day by day. You know, watch, when you look at verse 13, that has nothing to do with Sunday morning and looking at your watch and wondering when the service will be over, or if you'll be late for lunch again on Sunday. But it means to be alert. Pay attention. Are we people who pay attention? When we're driving, you better pay attention, right? Better be alert. Watch. It's the same as Jesus said, as recorded back in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 24, when Christ said there in verse 42, watch therefore, or watch for what? Watch for your Lord's coming. He's coming. Do we still believe that? Are we alert to it? Vigilant? He's coming. Watch. I remember years ago watching a television show. I kind of liked Maverick a little bit and watched him. And he was out of town one time, and they were going to throw him out of town because he didn't have a job. And so he told the sheriff, well, I got a job now. Oh, what's your job? I'm supposed to be a camel spotter. I'm supposed to go out and watch for camels. And I'm looking right now. I don't see any camels. You know, he had a job, and he was trying to do it, I guess. He always had an angle in regard to something. How often he went out and looked, I don't know. But anyway, he said, I'm walking. I'm watching. I sometimes wonder how many days go by that I have not thought upon the Lord's coming. Sometimes many days go by living without expectation Because when time gets by, gets by, gets by, gets by, we do not live in that expectation as we might. We seldom mention it. We're really not alert to his coming, which means in that watching and being alert would be living in a way that would be really ready with regard to his coming. Everything about us in our lives says that we have settled down and settled in, and here we are. And we really don't have much watching or expectation going on. I think the more that we would be alert to his coming, and we all need to be much more alert to it, we would say readily, yeah, I believe in it. He's coming. Yeah, anytime. Well, we would say that. I think the more we're alert to his coming, the more we'll be alert to the evangelism that Christ has left for us to do. Do we think as much about evangelism or as little about it as we do with regard to his coming? He says to stand fast. Look at the verse, stand fast, 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, which means firm in the faith. Probably the best way to explain it is to look back at the end of chapter 15, right? In verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, after giving a great topic on the resurrection and all the areas involved in it, us as well. He comes to that conclusion, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what are we supposed to do? Be steadfast. Yeah. Hang on to this truth. Don't let it go by. Be immovable. Don't let anything distract from the message of the resurrection. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our abounding kind of gets down to not too many jumps, just bumps, you know. Knowing, do you know this? You believe this? It's true. Knowing that your labor, the emphasis is you are doing what needs to be done, should be done, been taught to be done for the Lord, is not in vain in the Lord. It's not. It's not. Stand fast. Stand firm. The teaching's objective with regard to the Bible. Stand firm. And then he says there in our verse 13, you know, quit you like men, or means just be brave. Be brave. Some backbone. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and speak, live godly, speak godly. Remember who you're following and remember who's in charge. Be brave. Great need for bravery, daily evangelism. And be strong, he says, same verse, be strong. Be made strong by standing up for Jesus. We've sung that song before, right? Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of what? The cross. Put on the gospel armor. You know, stand up. Be strong. Speak up. Make you stronger. The more you speak up for Christ, the more you want to speak up for Christ. And the more you speak up for Christ, not only do more folks hear, but your heart and desire is to speak up all the more. We just sung that this morning. I hadn't thought on that before. In that I love to tell the story in the second stanza. Remember that? Love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time. Hang on. I tell it. You got to see where I'm at. More wonderfully sweet each time. The idea I'm telling it, oh, it gets more precious, sweeter each time I tell it. So I love to tell the story. Someone never heard. message of salvation from God's own holy word. The more I tell it, the more I want to tell it. The more I tell it, the more I want to tell it, and the more confident I have with regard to telling it. Remember back to riding that bicycle, my brother and a cousin pushed me down the hill. In fact, my wife and I were at a family wedding this past summer, and my cousin came up to me and he says, "Do you remember?" He lived with my grandma. "You remember we taught you how to ride a bike?" I said, "Yeah." So we got the scars to prove it. First time I remember, didn't go too far, got on it, went a little ways because I was, all over, and they didn't have any training wheels. They just had a hill. And I did literally went in the ditch within just a few feet. And I said, "Come on, that's what happens to all of us." Maybe not. Get back on. We'll help you. And they helped the same way the second time as the first time. And a push. There you go. Keep pedaling. Hold it straight. And a little further. And again, just in a pile. With clothes ripped and hands, and stones falling out of them and so on. And here we go, we're going to do it again. And I did. And went far enough that time, so I knew enough not to go back up to them. Just keep going yourself down the hill. Get on and go. And it takes balance, right? You have to learn balance. We do with regard to the whole ministry of the Lord. I want to exalt him. Yep, I got to balance that. I've exalted him, balance that with ministering to, encouraging, building up one another. Yeah, that's good. I want to do that. And then you got to balance that as well with regard to speaking the word, giving out the word, declaring the word, always ready to give forth what we have. By the way, did anyone ever buy a bunch of Gospels of John? Someone ought to give $1,000 to buy a whole bunch of them. I'll give $2,000. Buy lots of them. I always have a Gospel of John, the greatest little book in all the world. And always ready to give it out. I give them out and I write a little note in the back. Sometimes hand them out at the hospital or whatever. I write a little note. Free. Take me home and read me. Sometimes I'm a little sheepish and I just leave them laying, but I have the note in it. This is free. Take it home. Read it. There really is something in the way in which God has seen fit to use the Gospel of John with regard to seeing folks come to Christ through a reading and a thinking and a setting forth on it. Got some of the deepest theology, but it's got some of the most tender things to work in a heart in regard to a life. Be ready, be alert, stand firm, stand fast, be brave, be strong. And what's verse 14 say for us here in our copy of the scriptures? Let everything you do, let all that you do, let all that you are doing be done. Be done with love. That's the more excellent way, right, in the scriptures? There's the more excellent way is to have everything done in love. The reason, my motivation for giving out the Gospel of John, to set it forth, and to be, as it might be, a little bit aggressive in regard to it, to hand them out. I need to do that. And the love of God's been poured in our hearts so that we would overflow and it would be poured upon others. So be alert, stand firm, be brave, be strong, be loving in evangelism. It all adds up with a balanced ministry for him. Need to be brave in our stands. Many areas of stands we could preach on, and I'm sure they have been, but need to be brave in our stand against racism. I literally know of a church who is that's out of existence today that one time run 600-700 people. And they supported a missionary lady who went to a country in Africa, and good support for her to reach Africans for Christ. But because of medical things and having to come home, she was home in the church there, her home church, the one that supported her almost fully. And she started working with some children down in the ghettos and where all black families lived. And she started bringing them to the church, many of them coming. And the folks of the church went to her and said, "We don't want them here. Them." She said, "Aren't they God's children?" "Yeah, but we don't want them. Don't bring them. You can go there and minister to them. We can go to Africa and minister to them, but we don't want them here." We need to be brave in our stand against racism of every kind, type, style, nature. There might be. We're all created equal before God. And the gospel is held back from no one for any reason. It's brave in our stand against abortion. All babies, a baby is a baby is a baby, made in the image of God. Sad to read about, think about, and try. You don't even want to think about it, but you have to, of policies that are being put into practice in some places where a baby can actually be born alive and then decided, "I don't want that child," and left to die. Need to be brave to stand up against all sexual activity that's outside of marriage, because we were made in our bodies for the working in the way of God. Need to be strong and loving in these areas. On and on it could go. You know, we could talk about entertainment. We could talk about politics and fashions and so on. However, our point is that God's ministry for the church as a light in a crooked and dark place is to be consistently in balance that exalts him and that edifies one another and that evangelizes the lost, those who disagree with us. As a kid on a farm, the barn very close to the road, not as close as some as I've seen around this area, but a barn close to the road, very high and steep. And his dad hired someone to get on the roof. He didn't like heights. His boys weren't too old. My older brother did some of it, but got up there with a big wide brush and a bucket of tar to tar the tin roof. Ladders and ropes and all the works. And it got to be quite a community event. The first thing we knew, there were all kinds of people lined up along the road watching, you know, and seeing what's going on. And next thing I knew, the house was full of people. And being on the roadway we lived on, all farmers at that time, I don't know if there's any there today, but guys watching and come in and talk to my dad and some of the folks from the church. And I can remember it so clearly. Stood there by my dad, and one of the men says, "Ken, what would happen to that man if he fell off there?" That's all. "I'm sure he'd get hurt very bad, might die." And so they said to him, you ever think about what it would be to die?" And tried to witness to him, and my dad seldom would listen, have anything to do with it. And he was very mad later on. He didn't show it much then, but later on. Mad because someone had tried to share the gospel with him. I'm not sure they had the right approach with it, but their heart was in the right place. They tried to share the gospel, present it to him, because presenting Christ exalts the Savior, and when it edifies others around it, when they hear you witnessing to someone, when a believer hears you witnessing to others, it edifies them, builds them up. So I close with these few thoughts. If a local church feels it is exempt from any one of these three E's we've been mentioning, if a local church feels it is exempt from any one of these, or if it adopts some other agenda, I think it loses its justification to even exist. There is nothing that the local church can do better than anyone else except these three areas. And so keeping a biblical balance is critical to the church. One should not be dropped off or thought it is not a necessity. I brought some scales. Literally were given to me at a sale, and someone trying to sell them at an auction, as I remember right, and didn't want them. I happened to be at the right spot, the right time. I said, "Oh, I'll take them if it's okay." Yeah, I've had them. Just they collect dust real well, and I've had them on a shelf, and I don't think I've ever taken them out to use them in any way, but a good day. We would understand how they work, and some of us of years gone by saw similar ones in use in different places, and it's quite interesting to study about scales and weights and balances. You know, don't take much to change it a little bit, and it's 100% accurate in any way, but it gives the illustration for us that we have here this morning hour. We want things to be balanced in the church ministry and not to the leaving out of an item that is there. Just as we are concerned about a balance and all sorts of things, a balanced checkbook, always important, isn't it? That the tires are balanced, all things are balanced out, and the emphasis with the bicycle and balancing and learning finally how to balance and keep things going was that the emphasis was I made a mess of it the first time, and I didn't go home crying, though I might have felt like it, but got back up, you know, and anyway, any. Boy would not want to do that in front of his brother. He always wants to be tougher than his brother, of course. So back up and down and fall down and back up. And yeah, the picture just for us to keep at it with regard to the whole area of the ministry God has given us. I looked up the word balance. You wouldn't think you'd have to find the definition of balance, but a couple of them went like this: taking everything into account. That's the definition of balancing, taking everything into account. Well, that's what we do with these three E's we're talking about. We take everything into account. Another definition was something that is balanced is pleasing or useful because its many different parts are in the correct position. Well, that's right, with the three E's. It's something beautiful when every part is working, balanced out. So the local church must have a clear conscience before God that it is doing what he wants it to be doing in all three areas. Not to be intimidated into silence with regard to the gospel, but to be brave and speak up, plan to put it into practice. There are adversaries, folks who don't like to hear the gospel or anything with regard to it, as my dad didn't wish to. But they're adversaries. And that really don't like the gospel. But let's follow 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14 with regard to it. And the setting forth of it. I want to read from a very familiar portion, a few verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. Just listen as I would read here, if I hope I see it right. Verse 9. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in me will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It means a heralder, one who sets forth, speaks the things of God. How shall that be? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they are sent? It is written, and you can see it, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, bring the good news, the glad tidings. Exalt the Savior. Yes, I love to do that. I want to do that. Our songs and everything and just being present is an exaltation of him. Edify the saints. Yeah, build up, talk to one another and encourage and do things and pray with and minister to. Evangelize the sinner. Those like unto yourself as you at one time, dead in sin and hated the things of the gospel, an enemy of God's. Now we plan of how we could get it out, present the gospel, follow the plan. We remember well in the scriptures with regard to Daniel, and it speaks there, being weighed in the balance and found wanting. And if our ministries, our lives weighed in the balance of God, God's balance, will we be found wanting in any one of these areas of ministries that we've been talking about? And it takes a lot of work and a lot of persistence in each and every area to work on it and to bring it right before the Lord. I encourage you to think on these things and always have in mind, how am I going to exalt the Lord this week? How am I going to edify a fellow believer? And how am I going to evangelize? Need a plan and a preparation and to think on it and do it. Our Father, apply your word to our hearts as need be. And we'll thank you that we can praise you. We thank you that we can encourage one another. And we thank you that we can give out the gospel of Christ, which we're not ashamed of, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.